paramedic here from 2311 Racing. Game night's fun until someone spends 5 minutes lining up one shot. Chalk, breathe, re-chalk, still aiming. While they figure it out, I fire up Chumba Casino. I can spin anywhere, anytime, and there's always a new social casino game every week. Spins happen way faster than that shot. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Fourth and final hour. Darren, Donick, and Chase. Darren McFarland, Willie Donick, Chase McCabe with you here on this Wednesday afternoon. Don't forget, Game 2, World Series tonight, presented by Gary Force Acura, right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. See if the Rays can get back in this series, as the Dodgers took Game 1 last night in a convincing fashion. Game 2, first pitch at 7:08. Where? How did they come up with that time? No idea, but 7:08 p.m. Central Time, and you can hear everything right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Alabama and Tennessee square off this weekend. Longtime voice of Alabama is on the line with us, friend of the show, Eli Gold. Eli, how the heck are you?
I am well, gentlemen, Darren. Good to be with you.
Yeah, it's been a while, and thanks for the shot right out of the gates. That's good.
Oh,
I like it.
Do it.
Friendly
How's
fire.
Everybody? Everything good? Everyone staying healthy?
Yeah, everybody's good. How about you? This has been an odd 2020 sports year, right? How has it been for you thus far?
It's been bizarre and difficult, and you know, obviously, I've lost a lot of events that I would normally have broadcast and been compensated for. So that was not pleasant. And obviously, recently, with we didn't know at the time that it was a false positive for Coach Saban. When he tested positive for COVID, as did our director of athletics, well, you know, then my family was all over me to go get that swab stuck up towards my brain through my nose, and I went and got the COVID test, and thank God I was negative. And of course, now we know that those guys had, you know, the negative; they were false positives, but. Yeah, it's been unusual, but it's been nice to get back and cover some football. And, you know, minor league hockey supposed to restart here in Birmingham right around Christmas. So hopefully the workload will start intensifying here.
Eli, we've had a couple major league baseball players on the show the last couple of days, and I asked them about, you know, the no fans in the stands, and now they've started to here at the end, obviously let some fans in, but kind of going through the season and the first round of the playoffs with no fans. And they said, look, you understand you have to do what you have to do to get through it, but they hope they never, ever have to do that again. You're used to calling Alabama games in these massive stadiums, packed houses, loud crowds, incredible atmospheres. And, yes, there's fans in the stands, but – how weird has it been? Because obviously, you know, it's a lot quieter than normal.
Yeah, but
usually.
You want to know something? And maybe, I don't know, maybe it's because I'm in my mid-60s and I'm able to adjust. I don't know. For the first couple of games, and I don't even think about it now, the first couple of games, Bama played in Columbia, Missouri, and I forget, it was like 11,000 was the COVID-regulated capacity, and then Bama played a home game in front of 19,424. I'll be honest to goodness with you, I didn't realize it. Once you started the broadcast and you immersed yourself in the job at hand, in doing the play-by-play and making sure you get your commercials in, this, that, and the other, I did not even realize that there was a lesser crowd on hand, and I say lesser, you know, numbers-wise. And in that first game at Mizzou, it was in the fourth quarter, and we were in the middle of a commercial break, and I leaned back and I said, geez, you know, I forgot that there was nobody here. And it's not affected me. I've been able to generate my own energy, as my crew has, through the broadcast. You just don't even have time to think about it. I don't know how the players have reacted. I mean, you'd much rather have folks there, don't get me wrong. you want that support. But it really has not been that much of a factor for me. And, of course, you know, you go in, there's no traffic. You leave, there's no traffic. You'd rather have the crowd there. But, you know, it's really been strange. And maybe, again, because I'm a bit of an older, I'm not old, but I'm older, maybe I'm just, you know, able to put all of that out of my brain and just immerse myself in my job at hand. I just don't think about it.
Interesting. That's a different perspective. I would not have thought that to be your answer. All those people turning around during commercial breaks and going, Eli, I have signed my program. No, you don't. That's going on.
Well, we don't have that in our stadium the way it's laid out. That's never been a something that goes on. And you know, I there's been the way they dress the building, and that for those who don't know the term, the way they place the fans around the stadium, there is still enough of a murmur. We've had the option. We have always been presented the option on our network to patch into that crowd noise loop that the TV networks have, and we opted against it. We probably run our crowd noise effects feed a little bit louder than we normally do. But, you know, there's enough of a murmur in my headset from the 11 or 12,000 or whatever the, you know, the stated capacity is. It really hasn't affected me. And in some instances, literally, honest to goodness, when I start doing the game, I don't even realize who all is there.
Hmm. Speaking with Eli Gold, voice of the Alabama Crimson Tide. So, when we were just talking about Alabama right before we ended the last hour, and a little bit different circumstances right now, all the praise going towards how effective the offense has been and the defense, not your typical Alabama defense. So how big of a concern? I know it can't be that big of a concern when you're scoring at will like they are offensively, but how big of a concern moving forward about the defense getting better?
I don't think the word is concern. I'm curious to see how they improve. It's a very, very good, talented defense. In many areas, though, it is very young. And, you know, the more you go through the season, the better you're going to get. The more practices, you know, you got to remember that this young secondary, and again, it's not totally young, but there's enough youth in there to be able to call it young. This young secondary, every single day, is practicing against arguably one of the most explosive offenses in America. So you will get better in practice, let alone on Saturdays. So, you know, I was encouraged the way things went last week. Of course, you know, Dylan Moses had gone over a year without playing it down. It took him a while to get back into shape and into, you know, playing shape and what have you. I thought he had a spectacular second half against Georgia this past weekend. But you're right, when you have the type of offense that Alabama has, even losing Jerry Jeudy and Henry Ruggs III and Tua and all of this, even losing those guys, to come back and have the offense that Bama does, it's got to give everybody a little comfort level there, knowing that you're going to score 35 or 40 points a ballgame.
Talking to Eli Gold, the voice of the Alabama Crimson Tide. Eli, great to talk to you. I would love to get your insight on Mac Jones, because it's interesting. It can't ever be easy to be thrust into the position he was last year to replace Tua. But I'm curious how much you think the experience he got last year is leading to his success this year.
Oh, there's no question it is. The been there and done that factor, the practices, the time with the coaches, the time going over the playbook, the whole bit. You know, and let's go back and look. I know you in sports, obviously, we can't take away the wouldas, the shouldas, the couldas. But for the discussion's sake on this show today, you take away those two interceptions against Auburn, which were both pick sixes. Well, then he played a darn good ball game, taking those two plays away, and wins the game without giving up those 14 points. Then he comes back and he plays a very solid game against Michigan. He is in the bowl game. He is a very smart, heady kid. And I had a conversation with Coach Saban on the air, a week or two ago. And he said, you know, this is what we saw when we recruited the kid out of bowl school down in Jacksonville, Florida. You know, people, you know, Nick Saban doesn't recruit and give scholarships to quarterbacks just because they're, you know, they got nice families or they're good-looking guys. You know, you got to earn it. And he knew, well, and here's a guy who was so confident in his own ability that he still came to the university when Tua came and knew that, you know, I'm going to be patient and I'm going to get my opportunity. So he doesn't make mistakes. Obviously, we have learned his passing has got pinpoint accuracy. He may not be the fastest quarterback on two legs, but it's all right. You hand off to great runners and you throw to a triumvirate of outstanding wide receivers and a couple of really good tight ends. He doesn't always have to run. So he's really done a very, very good job. The kids love him. The team loves him. And he's just a good young man. It's nice to see.
I love that story of sticking it out, even though he knew he was going to be around a lot of talented quarterbacks. And I would imagine, and as you know, Eli, you get asked about this all the time, just like Nick Saban does, at Alabama, where you know you're with the very, very best, it's not uncommon for somebody to say, well, I took my shot. I'm not quite good enough. I got to go somewhere else because I think I can play. And now that everything seems to be moving towards you get one free transfer without sitting out anyway. So it's great to have success stories of people that do stick it out and wait for the opportunity.
It really is. It's that's something that, again, the coach and I talked about on the air, you know, talking about guys who have left their teammates and just gone on elsewhere. And the coach that I just love when somebody says, I'm here, I'm staying, I'm confident. You know, he also talked about recruiting. And this story goes back probably a season or so ago. He said, I always laugh at these coaches who tell this kid, he goes, you know, you don't want to go to Alabama because you're not going to play right now. So you're basically telling the kid, you're not good enough. You're not good enough to play at Alabama, so come to my school. And, you know, what kind of sense does that make? And Nick said, I love when I hear that. The guys, you know, and of course, for the record, Alabama plays as many, if not more, freshmen than most schools do because they lose so many to the NFL and they genuinely do play a ton of young kids. He said, but I love it when the guys say, and then I had an offensive lineman who said to me a few years ago, and you would recognize the name, but it's immaterial. He said, you know, I got recruited by and he did. He was very, 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 very good, recruited by everybody. He said, and I'd go to this school, and they'd say, and look, we want you to come here and help us beat Alabama. Then he'd go to the next school, and they'd say, and we want you to come here because, you know, we want you to help us beat Alabama. And he'd go to the next school and the same thing. And finally the kid said, well, heck, he said, why don't I just go to Alabama? Because every game apparently is the biggest game of the year for somebody. And he picked Alabama. So, you know, the recruiting is a science. But yeah, Nick Saban is able to convince these young men to come. And they buy into the program. And you know what, guys? It's probably no different than in the old days when John Wooden was coaching at UCLA. You know, who wouldn't want to play for John Wooden and be on a team that had a chance to win the national championship every year, had so many of their games on national television, you know, you're never going to get the guy. Nick Saban's never going to get the kid who grew up in East Lansing and prayed to be able to pull that green and white Spartans jersey over his head. You're never going to get that guy. But otherwise, who wouldn't want to at least take a good, long, hard look at Alabama as they did back in the Hoops days with John Wooden out in Westwood?
He is the great Eli Gold here with us on Darren, Donick, and Chase talking Alabama. So when I'm always curious of just kind of the psychology and the relationships that Coach Saban has with his assistants. And you see so many that are scattered about college football now as head coaches, and we all know the record that he has against them. But when any coach hires an assistant, they're not hiring them to say, yeah, I'm going to make you into a great head coach. They're hiring them to help make their team better. But from your eyes, how does he mentor them for them to achieve their goals later on when they leave Alabama?
It's not so much how he mentors them. It's how much do they absorb because they want to. You know, you got to be a sponge and absorb. I mean, you're going to get arguments, but, you know, clearly Nick Saban is one of the greatest of all time, if not the greatest. You know, you're going to get arguments from others, but he clearly is one of the very best coaches. If you're working for him and you're not absorbing every last little bit of minutia that you can, you know, that's your fault. He'll show you how it's done. He'll teach you the process, but it's really up to you to take it all in. And, you know, you're going to work every day from 6 in the morning until 10 o'clock at night. It's not easy, but, you know, look how many guys have coached here. They've gone away. They've come back to Alabama for a myriad of reasons. Well, it can't be that bad of a place to work as long as you're willing to put in the hours. So, you know, he doesn't hold back. If that's your question, he'll mentor by, you know, exposing every element of the process to these guys. I mean, look at Jeremy Pruitt. I was talking with the broadcaster at Tennessee, Bob Kessling, who's a dear friend of mine, and, you know, how everything that Jeremy does leading up to a ball game is exactly how Nick Saban does it, even to the point where, you know, Coach Saban and I tape his pregame show 2 hours before kickoff. Well, we never did that with any other coach. You'd always tape the pregame show on Friday sometime. Nick Saban, 2 hours before kickoff. And I talked to Kessling, and he says, you know what? He said, we're now taping our pregame show 2 hours before kickoff. He said, we never used to do that. So it's up to the, you know, the coach will open the book to you. He'll tell you and teach you the process, but it's really up to you to want to learn it.
What have been your impressions just from afar of Jeremy and the job he's done now in his third year at Tennessee?
Yeah, I think he's coming along nicely. I like Jeremy personally. He's a great guy, and you know, it's there are issues. Clearly, there's some recruiting stuff that needs to be done, and I think you know, everybody knows that. But he's a good coach. He is a good man, and given the time, and obviously having extended his contract, it looks like Coach Fulmer is willing to give him the time, so I think they will do very, very well over the years. He's a good guy, a very keen football mind, and I do wish him the best, with the exception of the third or fourth Saturdays of October.
Absolutely. But before we let you go, it coming out that Tua is going to get his first NFL start, you obviously saw his entire career there at Alabama, the ups and the downs. But what did you make of that news that as a rookie he's gonna give it a go as the starter for the Miami Dolphins?
Well, I was thrilled for him. I mean, you can't imagine how nice of a young man he is and how wonderful his family is. I don't tend to get close to a lot of kids' parents and stuff. You meet them, but you couldn't help get close to Galu and Diane Tongovaloa, the way they raised the family, Tua and his brother Talia, who we obviously knew before he transferred on to Maryland. We're thrilled here. It's funny you bring this up because right, literally just before I was on with you guys, I was on with a radio station in Honolulu. It was their morning show, but it was that's the great thing. It was their morning show, but we were doing it like at 12:30 our time, right. which was very comfortable to do. But he was telling me, Bobby Curran was the host, who is the voice of the University of Hawaii, and he was telling me how the islands are just ecstatic that Tua is going to be starting come a couple of weeks from now. So we're thrilled, and you know, you look at what he did the other day. You know the story. He sits out there on the 15-yard line and FaceTimes with his parents because they couldn't be at the game, and he wanted them to be part of what had gone on. It doesn't get any better than that. If it was a Hollywood script, somebody would probably reject it. But it's real. So I'm thrilled for him, and he's good. The guy, you know, he'll have growing pains, no question. But even that the one play, the rollout and the throw out of the end zone the other day, that was not an easy play to make. And he did it, made it look effortless, and completed a couple of passes. So I'm thrilled for him. And again, you know, it wasn't far from, hey, you'll never play football again. And now all of a sudden he's not only playing football, he's going to be starting in the NFL. It's a wonderful, heartwarming story. It really is.
A couple weeks ago, we were visiting Lauren's family, and everybody was gathered on a Sunday morning, and you know her family, what side they tend to root for. Some people in the room disappeared, Eli, her brother and his wife and others. They came back out in full Miami Dolphins getup and said they were getting ready to leave to go watch the Dolphins game. I suspect there's probably a lot of Dolphins merch being sold in Tuscaloosa.
Oh, there is. I mean, we've seen a lot of the teal-colored number one jerseys. I mean, it's really – and I saw some number that the NFL put out about how many, you know, gazillion dollars of merchandise of Tua's that they have already sold. But, yes, it's all over the place. We're starting to see more and more Dolphins games on our local TV here because, obviously, we don't have – like you guys have the Titans, obviously. We don't have a home team per se. And usually we will see a Saints game or a Falcons game, but now we're starting to see Dolphins games, and so yeah, it's a wonderful story, and everybody is thrilled for him, and it'll be nice to see. I didn't expect it mid-season like this. I didn't expect it necessarily mid-season like this, but when you stop and think, they got the bye week coming and all of that, maybe it makes sense. And
yep.
Either way, I look forward to seeing him on the field in a couple weeks.
No doubt about it. Always enjoy the visits. You continue to be safe. Thanks
you
for
too.
Doing this, and we'll talk down the road.
Great, and thanks for having me on. Always a pleasure to be with you guys.
All right, that is Eli Gold, longtime voice of Alabama, and of course Crimson Tide and the Vols will do battle this weekend. We'll come back with more. We'll hear a little bit of what Mike Vrabel had to say today in preparation for their matchup against the undefeated Steelers this weekend at Nissan Stadium. But first I want to talk to you about my friends over at Cool Springs MD. And I've been talking about them for years because I've been going there for years. And I know a lot of you have been going there as well. They've been in this market since 2007. Dr. Jeffrey Lodge, the board-certified physician over there, and his wife Daphne, the registered nurse, and their experienced staff want to improve your quality of life. And I suspect as we all get older, you want that like I do. And they do so many things under one roof. And if you've been feeling a little bit off lately, haven't felt like yourself, really haven't had a lot of get-up, I wonder why you're a little sluggish, well, go over there and talk to them about maybe hormone replacement therapy. Get your levels checked and see, because that tends to go down, your numbers over the years, your levels, and they have ways to improve that. Face and body rejuvenation, weight loss management, which is something big in 2020. We get it. Everybody's been kind of out of their normal routines, Maybe you put on some unwanted pounds and you would like to shed those. Well, they've got people and programs that can get you headed in the right direction. If you need to schedule an appointment or a consultation with those folks over there, dial this number, 615-283-7291. That's 283-7291. Or you can always learn everything about them by going to their website, CoolSpringsMD.com.
Ryan Seacrest here. So every great barbecue takes a little patience. And while the food does its thing, you can enjoy a little Chumba Casino. The perfect recipe. Chumba Casino. Always good to have you back.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.